Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello, and welcome back to another Co-Opticast. This is Co-Opticast, episode number 73 for Sunday, September 11th, 2011. It's a very special episode because we are actually bending the laws of time to bring you this podcast. Mike, what time is it there?
It is 6:59 p.m.
Yeah, and it's 9:59. Here, that means I'm broadcasting from the future.
That's pretty amazing. We have a quantum phone.
Yeah. That's how awesome we are.
Yeah.
But, so things are a bit different. Mike is on the left coast now.
Indeed.
And so we're going to, I don't know, we'll see how this goes. It's a little late for me, it's a little early for you, but...
I was asked why we didn't just do this in the afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that'll have to be our normal recording time.
Yeah.
Be like an afternoon thing.
Well, you know, your 7 is my 4, so you could go right after dinner. I could go right before dinner.
Yeah, that might work. Anyway, let's jump right into things. And your good stuff, or your consoles and your PC, are in a truck somewhere.
In the
country somewhere. You don't even know. You don't even have like any tracking beacons on it or anything.
There is a tracker, but I don't have, my wife handled all that, so I don't know where everything is right now.
So you've been playing mostly portable games.
Yeah, I've been playing kind of here and there, like Words with Friends and stuff on my iPhone. I've been playing Ascension with Jason over Game Center.
What is that? I've seen a bunch of people talking about it, but I don't know anything about it.
It's basically a board game. But you play basically play by mail,
okay.
Over Game Center. So Jason takes a turn, then I take a turn. Supports up to 4 players. It's a card game, and you know, you build resources, you know, buy heroes and slay monsters, and it's really fun.
Cool.
So anybody wants to play with Jason and I, you know, give us a shout on Twitter or whatever. We can add you to a game. But I've been mostly playing with my DS, and the only game I actually brought with me was Chrono Trigger, because it's my favorite game. And I guess I'm just not in the mood to play it right now. So I ended up going on DSiWare, of all things, and picking up the sequel to Shantae, Risky's Revenge. I don't know if you ever played Shantae, but it was a really good little platformer back on the Game Boy Color.
No.
It's put together by WayForward, and it's got like incredibly superlative 2D animation. They do outstanding sprite work. You know, they're doing that current Blood Rain game. They did the Brave and the Bold mm-hmm. Batman game, so most people know who they are. And I also actually found a copy of Ghost Trick, so I picked that up because I'm a big fan of the game Shu Takumi puts together, and it's really fun. I like it a lot.
Nice.
Yep, and that's it until my stuff gets here, because I'm going to have a hell of a backlog, because I still have to get Dead Island and Space Marine, and Deus Ex came out right when I packed my stuff.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to play that either.
Yeah, I have that same backlog, and I have the option to play those games too. And I've been playing them. It's just things have been busy, and there's just so many good games out right now.
Yeah. There's Resistance 3, which I'm interested in, despite not liking Resistance 2.
Yeah, and I'll talk about that later, because I've been playing that for a review, and I actually just about wrapped that up tonight.
Nice.
So I'll chat about that later in the podcast. So yeah, I've been playing a bunch of Resistance 3. Had a friend come over last night, and we played a bunch of split-screen co-op in that, which was pretty solid. Dead Island, we were lucky enough to get really early review copies of it, and Deep Silver actually supplied us with 2, so we could play co-op. So Andrew and I played a ton of that. Andrew really ran with it. He played like 35 or 40 hours across two or three characters.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was just hooked. I put about 15 hours into a character. And we played about 10 hours of co-op. But it's incredibly solid. We were playing the 360 version. You know, there are glitches and stuff, and it's funny because in all the time we played, we hit maybe one or two little minor glitches, and now that it's like, it seems that it's out in the general public, like all these more glitches are popping up and stuff, but still, it doesn't take away from the experience. It's just a really solid open world-ish zombie game.
Yeah.
I said in our review, I compared it in terms of atmosphere to a game that wasn't necessarily a good game, but it did nail that alone in paradise kind of feeling. That was Trespasser on the PC.
Oh my god, you actually brought up Trespasser.
But
hey buddy, let's stare at our tits to see if we have life left.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, game mechanic wise, it doesn't follow much of that, other than, yeah, you do see your arm, right? But
that chick's right arm is the greatest video game character ever.
But just that whole kind of like alone in paradise against all odds kind of thing.
What about Far Cry?
No, it's not. It's very slow. Like, it's very slow paced. Dead Island is. It's almost like combine like the wastelands of Fallout with Far Cry.
Okay.
You know, like you might come upon groups of people. You might come across just like one zombie that's just kind of stumbling or. It's a lot slower paced, and the melee combat is just, it's solid.
I've heard it's actually quite a difficult game.
It is, but it also is very forgiving, and like the only thing you lose when you die is, I think it's 10% of your money or 20% of your money. So not really too big of a deal dying. And it's funny, in co-op, like if you die, you can res somebody, but usually when you die, it's so chaotic and the time to res someone is so short that you never even really get the chance to do it.
Mm.
But yeah, so it's solid. I mean, everybody on my friends list has been playing it this week. So I think it'll get better over time with some of the patches and stuff for technical stuff, but in terms of gameplay and just what's there, it's meaty. Like I said, I think my counter's at 20 some hours right now, and I'm at 60% complete. So it's a meaty game.
Yeah.
And then finally, I've also been playing Deus Ex. I started that right before PAX, and then I got to like a boss battle. I think it was the second boss battle, and it kind of got stuck. I came back to it after PAX, and I never could beat it. So now I gotta recommit myself, because it's one of those things where, like, you know, like you get into a game and you play a game and you're used to it, and then you go back and you're at this really difficult part and you don't remember how to play the game.
Yeah,
it makes it that much more difficult.
I've been there before. One of the times I got to that particular point in gaming was when I was playing Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
I put it down for a while and I tried to come back to it, and that's not a game that you can really come back to.
Yeah.
Because there's so much memorization involved.
Yeah, so that's kind of what happened to me. I tried to pick it up after PAX and I was just kind of like lost, and I was like, well, I need to sit down and devote some good time to this again. But other than those three big titles, that's about all I've been playing. There's been a few things on PC here and there. Serious Sam Double D, I did play a couple hours of that, which is a side scroller from Mommy's Best Games in the Serious Sam universe.
Yeah,
which is pretty solid. We have a review up of that in our latest Beyond Co-op reviews. But yeah, but let's jump right into This Week in Co-op and talk about some of the news, and we'll talk about Resistance 3 real quick because this is something I discovered. In that the game's online pass, which was it's Sony's first party game to utilize an online pass system, you actually need that online pass for the co-op mode. And as far as I know, this is the first game that actually blocks out the co-op mode.
And it's the split screen stuff, right?
No, the split screen does work.
Oh, okay.
The split screen does work.
Because I was going to cry mega foul on that.
Yeah, no. The split screen does work, but the online co-op, which is, it's in like a completely different section than like the multiplayer and stuff, but that, as soon as you try and invite a friend, it's like, you need online pass to do this. So, not a good trend. I don't know. It's like, you know, I was talking to Jim about this online one day, and it's like, at first, I didn't mind the online pass thing, but I see it slowly kind of like growing, and publishers are going to like test what they can get away with it, and pretty soon you're going to get a game and you're going to get like the first chapter of it, and then anything past that chapter you're going to need online pass for, because they want to, you know, try and block out these used game sales and everything else and rentals. And
yeah, and speaking of online pass stuff, did you see that EA actually put some stats out on how much money they'd made off of their online pass stuff?
Yeah, it was like $15 million, which, according to them, wasn't that much.
It's not that much, but then if, you know, because all those online passes are $10, you know, that's a million and a half people.
Yeah, but that's across all of their titles to date.
Sure.
So you figure that's all of the sports games and all that stuff. I mean,
right?
Is that really worth?
That's $15 million that they didn't have. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. I guess it doesn't take much to.
It might be $15 million. See, the thing is, I'd be curious to see who does the statistics in terms of, okay, well, how many lost sales did they have because of people not buying, you know, a copy because of this or that, and I don't know.
Well, regardless of how you want to look at it, it's 15. They got $15 million out of it.
Yeah.
That they didn't otherwise have. Whether it's, I loaned my copy to my friend, and he wanted to play multiplayer, or someone getting a used copy.
There's a really interesting article my dad actually sent me today on the New York Times. It actually focuses on EA, and it's about tax breaks for video game companies in America.
Yeah.
And some of the things that companies like EA do. Basically, like, what I didn't... They said all of the salaries of developers are a tax write-off. The entire... Like, I was like, that blew my mind. So there's some pretty eye-opening stuff in that article. You know, these publishers and stuff talk about how they're losing all this money from used game sales and this and that, but they're also taking advantage in a lot of other places. So
yeah,
there's a statement in it. I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was worded more along the lines of like, EA actually made, you know, $15 billion. But the way it's reported in their tax thing is they had a net loss of, you know, $9.6 million. And so it's kind of interesting with all the tax write-offs and stuff. It makes it sound like they're doing bad, but they're really not.
Yeah.
So.
We all know, especially in this country with the current state of politics, we're well aware of the tax rates.
Yeah.
Of a lot of things we don't normally pay attention to.
Yeah. But speaking of EA, it looks like someone at their new Origin service made a boo-boo.
A good boo-boo. The best kind boo-boo. Of boo-boo.
they accidentally posted details of a new Syndicate game.
Oh. And...
yeah, but you know what?
Is singing, except the fact that it doesn't look like Syndicate.
Exactly. It looks like it's following like XCOM.
It looks like Deus Ex is what it looks like.
Yeah. But it's going to be a four-player co-op, first-person shooter. They had a couple screens. They had some info, some backstory and stuff like that. We'll see what happens. You know, I mentioned XCOM. I had first seen that at E3 2 years ago, and it was not XCOM. It was just a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
And then this past year, I got to see it again, and they added a lot more of the strategy elements and stuff. And even though it was still a first-person shooter, like, you could see the XCOM influence in it. So there's hope that some of the strategy elements from Syndicate can make it into a first-person shooter and stuff like that.
Well, and you also got to think, you know, if Bullfrog was still around these days, or would they be privy to the whims of what Peter Molyneux does?
Yeah, it would be interesting.
There might be, you know, a touching system. you hold your Mark's hands as you murder him.
So have you ever followed the fake Peter Molyneux Twitter account?
I have. I've peeked at it a few times. It's quite funny.
Did you see the video that he released recently? It was called, like, it was about an octopus game for or a co-op octopus, I think was the name of it.
Wow.
And it's a co-op octopus game where each person controls a tentacle.
Oh my.
And it's like they had this like this video of it, and it's just who's ever runs that account has a ton of fun with it.
I guess. That's funny.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk some Dead Island and what was it called? Bloodbath Arena DLC. It was something that was supposed to be included with the collector's edition of the game. It looks like it's going to be delayed a little bit until probably the end of the month. You'll still get it. You know, if you bought the collector's edition, which I guess was the standard edition, I think it was the same thing. You'll get access to that. So that's basically a survival mode for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that game kind of had a rough launch, especially on PC, where they accidentally posted the developer version on Steam instead of the final build.
Whoops.
Yeah, and along with that, there were some other boo-boos where, like, there might have been some...
Sexist?
Sexist skills leaked out, you know, developer debug comments and stuff that shouldn't have been seen by people. Etc. Etc. We won't go into it, but needless to say, Dead Island on PC has had a rough launch. Whether it was your save games being wiped by the first patch and everything else. But yeah, so if you're going to get that DLC because you pre-ordered the collector's edition, you'll have to wait probably till early October. What else we got here? We got, did you see the story we posted about LG launching their competing same-screen, split-screen 3D technology stuff?
I did.
And it looks like it's backed by Microsoft in this case. The Xbox was being demoed with it. So that's the tech where basically each person wears a pair of 3D glasses and they'll see their own unique view on the screen instead of actually splitting the screen.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Although, I would like to get to the day when a company announces some, like, completely crackpot feature, and then they're waiting for the other company to copy it and put it in, and then they'll say, oh, we're just kidding, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, what's interesting about this is, so Sony's, the first TV they're launching that has it is, like, a 24-inch one. I think it's like $500, comes with the glasses and a game and stuff.
Yep.
LG's it's like a 40-inch and a 46-inch or a 50-inch TV. And it's going to cost, I think it's $3,000 and $4,400 respectively for those two. So you can almost get two TVs for that price now. I mean,
almost? You could get two TVs for that price.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, $1,200, you can get yourself a 46-inch LCD TV. So yeah, you're right. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what other special bells and whistles they got going on. If that's the main selling feature of it, that's not going to cut it, but I guess we'll see. What else? Oh, we had a bit of Modern Warfare 3 news over the past couple weeks because of Activision's Call of Duty XP event took place in Los Angeles, which was their own BlizzCon, I guess you can call it, for Call of Duty. And at the show, they announced Elite pricing, the Call of Duty Elite service, which will set you back $50. There's not a whole lot in it for the $50 basically buys you the DLC ahead of time. That's basically what you're doing, is pre-ordering the DLC.
There's that word again.
Yeah. You get some things like more video rendering space and, you know, some extra clan tags or something like that. But the bulk of it is you're just getting the DLC ahead of everybody else. What's interesting is Elite members are going to get DLC more often. I think it says they're planning 20 pieces of DLC for Modern Warfare 3 for Elite members. But what they're going to do is, like, one map comes out and you get it right away. And then in a couple months, those maps get bundled and then sold to the public as, you know, a piece of content. So you're really going to be fracturing that multiplayer community, but I guess if there's one multiplayer community that could probably survive that fractioning, it would be Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Because there's just enough people playing it. But yeah, so all that was announced as alongside the Hardened Edition of Modern Warfare 3, which I think before it cost $70 or $80, but now it's $100. And that's because it includes a year of Call of Duty Elite with it, as well as your tin box and collector's book and all the other good stuff. So, I mean, I guess not a bad deal. You're basically saving $10 by going hardened.
Well, you know, it's the whole idea of paying $100 for a game, whether you do it over time or do it right away. And, of course, Activision would rather have that $100 as soon as possible.
Right. But, one thing I did forget to mention with the DLC for Modern Warfare 3, they already basically said that there's going to be Spec Ops DLC. So that'll be good. We'll know that there's going to be more co-op content coming for the game.
As long as Spec Ops 2.0 is a little bit better than the last one.
I really had fun with their survival mode at E3. I was pleasantly surprised. I think the formula works really well for that style of game.
Yeah, and
Spec Ops, a little bummed it's only two players, but
Spec Ops in Modern Warfare 2 was actually pretty great. The problem is that, you know, you had the tiers of content, and you know, some of those missions were just unfun.
Yeah,
like the stuff when you're surviving and you have a rocket or a UAV strike that you can keep calling in, that was a blast. But like the wave based survival mode in the original one was no fun at all. Like, you know, it's like, here, hold this thing, and there's like 500 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, that was, like, inside of a mission. This is, like, maps designed for it.
Yeah.
In a sense. So, and they did say, I think it was in our Glenn Schofield interview, he had said that, like, the Spec Ops missions themselves might not necessarily be from the game like they were before. They might take place, like, you know, in similar environments, but they're actually written for co-op this time.
That's good.
So that'll be good. What else we got going on here? We got, Space Marine. The co-op mode was finally revealed for that in one of the most bizarre PR campaigns I think I've seen for a game in terms of, like, how the co-op was announced. But, it's shocking to no one. It's a four-player horde mode. It looks like two maps, but if you play the multiplayer modes in that game, you know, it's kind of got your persistent character thing where you can level up people and unlock perks, etc., etc. So the co-op stuff will tie into that. That whole hush-hush thing about the co-op with that up until, I guess it was less than a week before release, was just ridiculous. And even then, they sent out the press release and they had a timed thing on it. Like, they sent out the press release about 6 hours ahead of time, and then it was, you know, nobody can post anything about this. It's like, come on, really? Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like, they really made it sound like it was a big deal, but it was pretty underwhelming, to be honest. So, and the game's good. I mean, I played a couple missions of that, and the game's great so far, single-player-wise, but I think they missed the boat. Could have had co-op through the whole thing.
Well, you know, in that type of game, co-op works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, Dungeon Siege 3 is getting some DLC. It's called Treasures of the Sun. And it's going to raise the level cap to 35, add some new weapons and some stuff, obviously new gear, and some new missions and stuff like that. So that'll be good. That's another game I got into, got to a really hard part, had to stop for whatever reason, and every time I pick it up and try and go back to it, I just forget how to play. And so I can't beat the part I'm at. It's like, oh, it's so annoying.
Awesome.
But yeah, so that's it for news. Surprisingly, not a whole lot going on. Just game releases are I guess, the news of the day. Lots of stuff is starting to come out. And, you know, we got some big ones coming in a few weeks with Gears of War 3 and stuff like that.
Gears of War is the end of the month?
It's the 20th. It's like a week away. A little more than a week away.
Man. Man.
Yep. Yeah, it's a busy September. So, I'm already training myself to sleep less and play more.
That's a good idea.
I mean, that's what you got to do.
I think that's a good idea in general, especially when you have a kid.
Yeah.
Just go to bed about 2 hours later than you used to and get all your gaming done then.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. So, yeah, we actually got a voicemail.
Yo, yo, it's Cyclops. Been a member for, over a year, maybe 2 years. Anyway, just listening to your guys' podcast. Wanted to leave a voicemail telling you guys, been in love with your site for quite some time. Unfortunately, I don't post nearly as much as I'd like to. And that beeping you hear is me at my job scanning a bunch of crap while I listen to your podcast. And just wanted to thank you guys for giving me something to do while I'm in this huge Lowe's store all by myself at 4 a.m. in the morning. Anyway, you guys, take it easy. Hopefully I can be a little more active on the forums and stuff, but either way, keep up the great work.
You guys are cool voicemail, so that was good. So thanks, Cyclops, for sending in that.
Thanks.
And
I think we're pretty cool, too.
He basically said that we helped them get through 4 a.m. inventory at Lowe's. So it's good to know that our sultry voices can do that for him.
Well, that is good. I've worked hours like that before, and I always know that, taking the edge off at the very least can help make it go a lot faster.
Yeah. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, ask us some questions, or tell us how awesome we are, you can do that at 646-926-6748. We'd love to hear from you. So let's move on to our feature section, and I'll talk a bit about PAX and what I did out there. And
how you ended up going to PAX, even though you said you weren't going to.
Right. So, yeah, I had every intention of avoiding PAX this year for personal reasons, I guess you could say, spending some more time with the family and everything else, as well as financial. But about a month before the show, Sisun, who is the EA community manager for Battlefield 3, contacted me and said, hey, would you like to come out to PAX to check out Battlefield 3 for a community event? And I was like, sure.
I was like, would I?
Exactly. So, EA was kind enough to fly me out to Seattle and put me up to not only check out PAX, but to check out Battlefield 3. So, the Friday night of PAX, we all kind of gathered in the ballroom of this hotel, and they had 32 PCs and 32 PlayStation 3s set up running Battlefield 3. And we first checked out the co-op mode, which was running on the PS3. And kind of, like we talked about earlier, the Spec Ops stuff, it's basically these two-player special missions. The mission we played, we had to basically rescue this hostage, bring him out to an APC, and then escort the APCs out of this area. So it was definitely, you could see like level design things where like there'll be like two guards in certain areas and you'd have to like time your kills with your co-op buddy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really difficult. I played with Shipwreck from Cheap Ass Gamer, and we got consistently to the part where you have to escort the guys out. And it just, we kept getting overwhelmed and overwhelmed and overwhelmed. So there's definitely some difficulty going on there. So it'll be good to see how that plays out when the game's released. The game looks great on a PlayStation 3 as well. Like, you've seen the screenshots and stuff, which have mostly been from the PC version.
Right.
But the PlayStation 3 version held its own pretty well. It's one of the better looking games I've seen on the system. After we wrapped up the co-op, we got to play PC versus, and like I said, on the PC, and it's the way to go with the game. It's just absolutely gorgeous, and we played the Operation Metro map again, but it was a tweaked version. Had a few areas I hadn't seen before, and it was kind of cool because we were playing with the Astro headsets.
Yeah,
and they had the daisy chain thing going on so we could all talk to each other and like
nice.
Directly. That's the first time I ever did that, and that was pretty fun. So we were having a lot of fun doing that. But yeah, so it's Battlefield. It's going to be good. It's EA's definitely, you know, they're trying to compete with the Modern Warfare crowd. It's obvious. They just released a video this past week of showing off one of the single player missions, and it just looks incredible. They're really going for that cinematic feel for the whole game and stuff. So, but yeah, so it was actually a pretty short community event because it took place inside PAX like that. So really, we were only there like 4 hours. I know you've been to community events before, and a lot of times they take place over like 2 days at a studio.
Yeah. The ones I've been to are definitely a lot longer than that.
So, which is good though, because like I said, I got to go to PAX and I actually didn't work the show. And this is the first time I didn't work a show since probably my first PAX, maybe. Wow. It's been a long time since I didn't really work a show. And so I just kind of, it was great because I got to meet Locke finally. And so I met up with him and hung around with him for a while. He's an awesome guy. I mean, the first day I met up with him and he had a backpack on him. And all of a sudden he opens his backpack and he pulls out a 1 gallon jug of orange juice. And I was like, well, where'd you get that? He's like, oh, man. He's like, I came prepared. He's like, I went to the grocery store before I came here. Then he pulled out a giant bag of grapes, and then he had some apples in there and some carrots. The man was, he wanted to get some good vitamins in himself before the start of the show.
Gallon of orange juice. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, so he loaded up on his vitamin C, and we went around, checked some stuff out, played some games, talked to some folks. Handed out some stickers, and
the video you guys put together was really great.
Yeah, so I decided, you know, I wanted to do something there for the site, and I wanted to do some. So we decided to come up with some questions to ask some folks, and so we basically just walked around and figured people waiting in lines for some of the games are probably bored, so they'd be willing to answer some questions. So we asked them some questions and stuff, and put together a little montage video, which was great. The highlight for me of the video was we talked to Max Schaefer from Runic Games.
Yeah. Who,
and, you know, we asked him what his favorite co-op game was, and he said Diablo 2, which is pretty awesome. So we had that on video.
Yeah, I remember he seemed a little reserved about saying that, too.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So, but yeah, so I had a lot of fun, and it was just great to hang out with people and... It was totally not stressful. Well, it was not stressful until the last day when the hurricane hit home and I couldn't get home. And, well, yeah. That's a story for another day, but it was a long travel home.
It's a story for our new travel podcast.
Yeah. So that was PAX. What else did I want to talk about? I didn't really see anything... I did make two. I lied because I did make two appointments at PAX, and it was for basically my own personal gain more than anything. I didn't want to wait in lines for Borderlands 2, so I made an appointment for that, and that was just a hands-off developer demo.
I still hate you.
And I did write up impressions on the site for that. So yeah, okay, I did a little bit of work, maybe, but nothing like I normally do.
Well, you know what's awesome about PAX is that now I live within driving distance of going.
Yeah,
like. PAX is a 2-hour drive for me now.
That's badass.
So next year, hell, you could probably stay with me and then we could road trip up.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
But and then the only other appointment I made was for Skyrim. I had to get my hands on some Elder Scrolls action, which was great because they basically just sat you down in front of an Xbox at the start of the game, the character creation, and let you play as long as you wanted.
Nice.
So I played like the first 45 minutes maybe of the game.
Excellent.
And it's Elder Scrolls, but it's definitely polished. They got some new stuff in there. It feels like the environments feel very Lord of the Rings-ish. Just the look and
stuff. Well, it's because it's very Nordic and...
Yeah. So I was pretty happy with that. And I'm definitely a day one buy for me.
Totally.
But that's about it. Feature-wise, what else? Oh, I did mention stickers in that we were handing out at PAX. But you have new stickers finally, and I will be posting them on the site soon for purchase to help support Co-Optimus. It came out pretty good. So,
you know, when I was packing, I found I had like a stack of 50 of the Co-op Revolution ones.
Do you? Nice.
Yeah.
So on my way back from PAX, you know, I got sidetracked to Denver and I stayed with a buddy one night, but then I crashed with Kat the one night, and she actually still had some of the original Don't Face Bosses Alone stickers.
I have about 20 of those.
Do you? See, I haven't had any in a while, and so she gave me some of those, and I was pretty happy. So they're going to my personal stash of ones that I won't get rid of.
Right.
But yeah. Let's talk about upcoming co-op releases, because there are a few in the next couple weeks here. White Knight Chronicles 2 and Beat Hazard are coming out on the PlayStation 3 this week. Beat Hazard is the downloadable game. White Knight Chronicles 2 is actually including the first White Knight Chronicles in it, so that's a pretty good deal for $60. What else we got? Gunstringer comes out on Tuesday as well. The Kinect title from...
I haven't heard a rumor that Walmart has broken the street date on it.
Did they? They've been bad, actually. There was another game. I think Dead Island they were selling early too, or somebody was selling early.
Well, who's gonna tell Walmart not to do that?
Yeah. but yeah, so that'll be out this week as well. I believe this is still kind of up in the air, but I believe Renegade Ops is coming out on the 14th. On PSN only. I think they have a little bit of an exclusive on it because it's part of that PSN Play promotion.
Right.
And then I guess the other platforms, PC and 360, will be the following week or the week after. I haven't got a confirmed date on that because we're actually going to do a co-op night with those guys.
Nice.
I've been meaning to do more co-op nights with like downloadable titles and stuff. We're always going with the big retail releases, but there's a lot of good stuff on the downloadable space. So, and finally, we mentioned it earlier, but Gears of War 3 is out on the 20th on 360. So, I do know our review copy should be here tomorrow, and I'm sending it off to Jim right away. The embargo is actually up on the 15th for that, so 5 days ahead of release. We're not going to make that. There's no way we're making that date, but we'll get it up for release day for sure.
Yeah.
But that's always a good sign, too. You know, when the embargo date is before release date, that usually means they're pretty confident in what they have. Let's see. What have we done? We've done some reviews. We just posted Beyond Co-op reviews this weekend. We covered Deus Ex, Bastion, Boulder Dash XL, Serious Sam Double D, Shadows of the Damned. I think that was it.
So, I'm trying to remember.
I think there was five. Yeah, I think those were it.
It was a short one.
Yeah. Well, it was just me and Jason doing them originally. It's like no one else was playing single-player titles, I guess.
Well, I was up for Shadows of the Damned. The problem was that the move got in the way of everything, so...
Yeah.
But luckily, yeah. I managed to crank it out.
Yeah, indeed. Let's see what else. We had a review of Crimson Alliance, which Tally did and seemed to like. Like I said, we posted our Dead Island review and a review of Body Count. And, you want to probably avoid that one.
Yeah, probably.
what do we have? We had a co-op classics video go up for Buster Brothers and Punisher. There was another co-op classics which focused on the Super Nintendo 20th birthday. We had a guest article for co-op couples called Suburban Sidekicks. We had an interview for Renegade Ops, and my write-up for the Battlefield 3 community event was also posted.
Mm-hmm. And you did miss one with the Beyond Co-op. There was a Child of Eden in there.
Ah, that's right. I did that. Yeah, that was kind of a last-minute addition.
It's okay. That game takes 10 minutes to beat anyway.
It really does, yeah. let's see. Windows Phone 7 and Android apps. I just pushed out an update for our Windows Phone 7 app that's Mango ready. I felt kind of special to do that, but it doesn't really mean anything.
It just means it won't break when you update your phone, right?
Yeah, basically. I did change the theme of it, though. I used our new graphical style and stuff on it, so it looks a little different.
That's good.
You can buy our shirts from Split Reason. We actually had our first community member send in an action shot of the shirt with the flying spaghetti monster from Dragon Con.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. So, you know, you can always send us a picture of yourself wearing the shirt or wherever. We'd love to see it. You can send it to tips@cooptimist.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes, you can leave feedback. We love feedback. And follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimus without the dash. Finally, voicemail. I mentioned that earlier in the show. 646-926-6748. Wow, we pounded through that show, didn't we?
We did. It's just about 45 minutes. It's what happens. It's what happens when you take a little bit of a break. You come back and you're kind of fresh and you're ready to hit it again.
I guess so.
And I actually wanted to, you know, ask people to go ahead and give our last episode a listen if they hadn't already, because we did a really awesome interview with Final Form Games, the guys who put together Jamestown. And there's actually a video compliment to it that Jason posted as his latest Indiana co-op article.
Yeah, definitely. It was good stuff. I finally got to really play a bunch of Jamestown in co-op when I was in Denver with my buddy.
It's great.
It's so much. Yeah, it's a great game.
It was even better when you had the developers there teaching you how to get really, really good at it.
Because that last level is tough.
It is.
It's very tough.
Did you watch Did you watch the video?
I watched most of it, yeah.
Did you watch the ending?
I did not.
We were playing on the second hardest difficulty because we were trying to unlock the hardest one, which is what they act. Their debug version didn't have the hardest difficulty unlocked. so they had to go through and we had to play through, I think it's Divine or whatever is the second highest. And we were doing 4-player co-op. Gauntlet mode on Divine, so like you only get your 2 continues and that's it. We got to the last phase of the final boss and he had a sliver of life left and we died and got our second game over. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. So you should at very least, you know, watch the ending.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the ending.
It was funny as hell.
That's great.
Yep.
All right, so that's it. That was Co-op the Cast, episode 73 for Sunday, September the 11th, 2011. I am Nick. That is Mike.
Yo.
Thank you for listening.